Will Friday's non-farm payroll report be a dud? Or is it BLS going to cook the books again? Are there signs that the global manufacturing sector is cooling off? And is the U.S. manufacturing sector telling investors stock prices are too high? Answer those questions and more on today's show. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today. For those of you who are chartists, you know we're still out at the racetrack. If you look at TLT, there's a symmetrical triangle forming, and now that makes sense why we're getting the horses out, get them ready to run, because it generally gives you an idea which way prices are headed. Starts to look like a continuation pattern. But we're not here to talk about charts. We're here to talk about what's going on in the economic data, the economic landscape, what's going on in the world. And we have to start with the payroll report that's coming up, because today on Wednesday, we get a preview somewhat from ADP. They have a private non-farm report. Now, it is not meant to be exactly accurate to the federal government's version, the BLS version, but it gives us an idea of what is to come. And we need to look at that, because the question on my mind, this should be on your mind, because we're looking at potentially a big payroll crisis coming, a big unemployment crisis, because what is coming on Monday, right? Labor Day. What comes with Labor Day this year? The end of the federal unemployment benefits. Millions of people will have their income go to zero. The question is, are there jobs out there? And what are we going to see with this payroll report on Friday? Why does this one matter so much? Because the Fed has been talking taper somewhat. Powell's not really, but the Fed overall, the FOMC board is talking taper. And what is the rumor that we're hearing? We get 800 to a million jobs for a couple months in a row, and guess what? That means all the members of the board are going to start pushing for a taper. So there seems to be a lot at stake here. Now, on the other side is, we know the last report, which came in at 943,000 seasonally adjusted, the actual report was minus 133,000 jobs. And why does that actually matter? Because it's setting up the potential for a goose egg of a report at a time when we need people to go back to work, because they're going to lose their benefits. And when they lose their benefits and their spending power, well, that has repercussions through the economy. And so you start to look at this and wonder, what will the government do? If the report is a dud like last month, will they seasonally adjust it or do something to make the number higher? And throughout history, going back to the Reagan administration, the BLS, what they started to do, because Reagan faced a double dip recession, which if you missed Monday's show, we're facing that now. We're going to see that in the data coming soon, that we're going to be facing double dip recession. What would the BLS want to do? Cook the books. And why would they do that? Now, we had this discussion on Twitter. I posed this question out there to get some of your feedback. And here's what the BLS, their view is. And now they're not working in conjunction with the Fed or the administration or any of that. They do it because there's this belief that if you're at home on unemployment or out of work and you see on the news people out there getting jobs, what does that tend to get you to do? Go out and look for one. And then somehow that translates into people getting jobs and consumption occurring and jobs being created. Some other people, that's historically what we see happen. Some of you suggested, well, why would the BLS do that? Maybe they want to work with Powell and have no taper, so put a low number out. They don't work with the Fed. The government wants people back at work. That's important. So let's take a look at the ADP report that came in today, and it came in pretty weak. It was expected to be much higher, came in 373,000 jobs, 374,000 jobs. And we can see, now I'm gonna zoom in here a little bit. I want you to see that red is the ADP report, blue is a non-farm payroll. And I want you to see they're pretty close together. The non-farm payroll report should generally be higher. Should it be significantly higher? No, but it should be higher. Now, if we zoom in to this more recent data, what do we see here? We see that those private payrolls from ADP are slowing and heading lower, and the government is driving bigger and bigger numbers. The question is ADP going to adjust a lot higher in the months that come, even though we have August's number now, or is the non-farm payroll report headed lower. Another way to look at this is the year-over-year data. Now, historically, we don't have a ton of data because ADP didn't start reporting this till in 2003, but I want you to see on a year-over-year basis how smooth they run together. Now, let's zoom in a little bit and see. More recently, you can see the year-over-year rate of change from ADP is slowing, and we can see that the non-farm payroll report is also headed lower. The question is, are we going to get that big miss? Let's take a look at more detail at the ADP report. So this is their national private sector report. Employment increased 374,000 from July to August on a seasonally adjusted basis. Can you predict where most of those jobs, what sector they're in? I bet you can. Think about it for a moment as we go through. Small employers added, but not a ton, mid and large employers. Again, this wasn't a big report compared to what we've seen in the past. And not a surprise, 329,000 in the service side, in the services sector, in the goods producing sector, only 45,000, which is still a decent number. Of course, the construction sector led that. I'll show you why in today's data we see that happening. But look at the service side. Where did all the jobs come from? Leisure and hospitality. And this makes perfect sense. These were the jobs that were lost, and these are the jobs that you see that are in demand. A lot of restaurant jobs, for example, a lot of restaurants are hiring. These are those type of jobs that get classified there. So now, let's have a little bet. Let's have a little fun. On Friday, we've got the U.S. non-farm payroll report coming. The forecast is 750,000 jobs. The question is, are you going to take the over, above, or under, below 750,000? What's your call? I'm going to have to take the under on this, knowing that the BLS probably will make a fool out of me and cook the books a bit. I have a hunch that they'll do that. And why do I think that we'll come in under? Is you have to go back and look at the unemployment claims are still running too high at 353,000 last week. Now, on Thursday morning, we'll have the latest numbers. But what's the bigger issue is these total claims are still sitting at 12 million. And if we were actually going to see a legitimately big payroll number, then I would expect to see this number dropping week after week after week. And we're not seeing that. Look, last week it went up to 182,000 people went back on benefits. So it just gives you some perspective that at some point we're likely to see a dud of a report that will wipe out all the talk about taper and really start to bring to the forefront the potential of a double dip recession. And you start looking at the bond market, which has figured this out back in March. So it kind of already knew this. The equity market hasn't quite figured it out. But let's go on and start looking at what's going on in the global economy, because when you're in the U.S., when you are on the end of the supply chain, you are the world's biggest consumer, you start to see trends that start through Asia and Europe and then get here. So it's important to kind of take a big picture and look at what's going on. And let's do that as we roll through the economic data. Let's go back to Wednesday. Let's go back to Monday. After hours in the U.S., we get to China and we see their manufacturing PMI 50.1. Just as a reminder, this is a purchasing managers index. These are a survey. A 50 is unchanged. Above 50 is expansion. Below 50 is contraction. So at 50.1, last month it was 50.4, saying that the manufacturing sector in China unchanged. Now, if you think about that, where does the U.S. import a lot of stuff from, right? The world's largest exporter. So if their factory sector is, you know, just spinning its wheels now, what does that tell you that is eventually coming to the U.S.? How about the services sector there in China? That dropped in a bit of a contraction, not a huge one, to 47.5 from 53.3 the month before. And that is due to some pandemic shutdowns going on in China. Let's move on into the Tuesday data. And we have the preliminary CPI from France. So all of a sudden we went from 0.1 last month, preliminary basis up to 0.6. So all of a sudden, boom, we're seeing some inflation kind of show back up in France. Predicted the year over year to go up to 1.9%. Producer prices in France up to 1.3% month over month. So that's obviously helping feed into the CPI a little bit, even though the PPI and the CPI aren't the same data. Let's take a look at what else we have with these PMIs that come in. And here we've got Italy. Well, we had the CPI still. Italy preliminary, month over month, still rather hottish. 0.5% month over month, bringing the year over year predicted to 2.1%. Broad Eurozone month over month, 0.3. So from a deflationary minus 0.4 to an inflationary 0.3. So big swing. This is at the core, excluding food and energy in the Eurozone. So that is a big shift there, bringing this, predicting this core CPI to go to 1.6. The broad CPI month over month predicted to come in at 0.4 again. You know, in a normal time, 0.4 would be hottish. Today, it seems like not that bad, but it's still on the hot side, of course, with the year over year jumping, but predicting to jump to 3%. So a lot of inflation showing up now in Europe. Let's get in. I want to get to these PMI numbers. We got to go through some U.S. data here first. From Tuesday, housing prices higher, up 1.6%. And where are the, where's my housing prices chart? No, where is it? Well, it's, oh, here it is, housing prices, record high. So housing prices in the U.S. continue to go higher. Some of you waiting on the sidelines just can't wait. When is this going to come out and fall? At some point it will. Let's take a look at the Chicago PMI. So this is a preview of what is coming. And what do we see in the Chicago PMI? Expanded at a slow rate. Now went from 73.4 to 66.8. Don't get me wrong, 66.8, big number. But let's go to the Chicago PMI, and because there's something in the report that was really interesting. And so this month's special question asked, when do you expect the supply chain impact of COVID-19 to peak? The majority, 37.8%, expected to peak next year. The second question, and probably the more important question, with enhanced unemployment insurance benefits set to expire in September, are you forecasting an increase in your staffing levels? The majority said no. Wow. Not good for the all those people who are going to be back looking for work. How about the Conference Board Consumer Confidence? This is now following the University of Michigan survey data. Lower member consumer confidence ties right into spending. Here is consumer sentiment. We see the Conference Board versus University of Michigan. University of Michigan, you know, sharply lower. Conference Board starting to follow it on its way down. Looking at the Conference Board data, we see present situation in red, and aha, there's the expectations. Again, expectations is what leads to future purchases. If people are expecting things to get worse, they don't buy. All right, let's move on. I kind of want to get to that PMI data. I know it's coming up here pretty soon. And here we have on Wednesday, today, oh, look at German retail sales coming out of Germany. Minus 5.1%. Market totally ignored that. That's a huge decline. Brought the year over year from 6.5% down to minus 0.3. I'll say this, coming to America without all those extended unemployment benefits. All right, now into the PMIs. Spain, heading over to Spain, went from 59 to 59.5. So expanded at a little bit, you know, slightly faster rate. So what we're looking for is signs of peaking here. And now we'll zip over to Italy, went from 60.3 to 60.9. So again, slightly, very slightly faster rate of expansion. How about over to France, 58 to 57.5. So expanded at a very slightly slower rate. Again, these are normal times, fantastic numbers. How about Germany, slowed from 65.9 to 62.6, but still a very strong number. And overall, we look at the Eurozone, we see 62.8 down to 61.4. Again, 61.4, still a strong number. So expanding at just a slightly slower rate. Even the UK going up to Great Britain, we've got 60.4 down to, you know, unchanged at 60.3. And here we can go to this chart here. What we see with these PMIs, these headlines, I know it's a small, but you can see there's peaking and starting to roll over. And we look at year ahead data, you see it peaking and rolling over. And what does that tell you about the economy? We know that stock prices have a strong correlation or relationship to these PMIs, suggesting that stock prices tend to peak after these PMIs peak. And looking down here, we see the manufacturing output rolling over and supplier delivery times going up. Lower values equal longer means supplier delivery times look like they're going to start to shorten. How about input prices? This is what everyone's fixated on from inflation. And you can see they're all peaking and rolling over there. Let's get into today's U.S. data. Mortgage applications down 2.4%. Again, this isn't, you know, if you're looking for a continued boom in housing, well, you want to see mortgage applications continuing to rise, indicating perhaps prices are too high. Moving on into the ADP number, was projected at 613. We got 374. Again, there's your question on what's coming for the non-Friday's non-farm payroll report. Let's hit construction spending here real quick, 0.3%. So remember when we talked about ADP and we said, look, construction spending, you know, construction jobs up 30,000. Well, let's go to where, here it is, total construction spending running a rather nice 9% year over year. Going back, I mean, this is all the history on construction spending is right in line with where it should be. Makes perfect sense why there's jobs there. So maybe that's, if you're looking for work, go look in the construction sector. How about the market, MARKIT, manufacturing PMI? Remember in the U.S., we have two of these that we get. The market came in unchanged, 61.2 to 61.1, showing the manufacturing sector in the U.S. is expanding at the same rate as before, which is a strong number. Then we go to the official, and then I do that in air quotes, official ISM, because this is not a government statistic, a survey. It is considered the gold standard above the market data. And looking at the ISM manufacturing PMI expanded at just a slightly faster rate, 59.5 to 59.9. Looking at underneath the report, let's go to the ISM and here, what do we see? Let's first start out with the question of should stocks be peaking here? And we go down and what do we want to look for? First, we want to find where this thing peaked. And going back for a year, we find out it was March of 2021, 64.7. And where do you tend to see stock peaks? Somewhere around that 3 to 6 month range afterwards. So we're right in line with where stocks should be peaking. Now, I understand due to passive flows, it may not happen. But again, just historically, that's what we should be seeing. New orders expanded at a bit faster rate, and you would expect, you know, this should translate into an increase in production, and I want production to increase slightly from 58 to 60. So what do you think is possibly going on here? Well, let's look at the employment number. Employment, 52.9 last month, expanding at a pretty slow rate. This month, 49.0, virtually unchanged, showing that the factory sector is not hiring. So how do you interpret this? When you see these orders come in and you're not seeing it backed by a big ramp in production or hiring, and what happens when there are supply chain issues, businesses and wholesalers will go out and they'll put orders in multiple places, not knowing which one will come in first. And so those orders start to show up. The other thing they will do is they will go to their suppliers and say, look, this is what I need now. I'm going to put an order for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. So they're going to get in the production schedule that shows up as new orders, but it's not like there's a big ramp in production because, hey, that order's out for 6 months. We don't need to do anything with it today. So keep that in mind as you look at this report. Supplier deliveries slowing at a slightly slower rate. That's actually what it slowed at a slightly slower rate. That was actually quoted right out of this report. Inventory levels, this would be inventories of the manufacturers expanding at, you know, a little bit, you know, faster rate, going from 49.9, you know, slight contraction last month to 54.2. So inventory is getting a little bigger, and it would kind of make sense because they're still not getting the things that they need in. Supplier deliveries is telling you that. So, you know, you have an issue of them getting supplies in the door to complete inventory. You should expect to see a little inventory backup. Customers complaining, saying their inventory levels are too low. We'll see how long that will last. Prices paid slowing down. Remember, this is the thing everyone's looking at for inflation. Prices paid, and the bond market has been telling you this is coming. Backlog of orders is up, but that's not a major deal because I see by production there's not the demand to get those backlogged orders out. And new export orders up slightly. Imports are up slightly as well. Let's take a look at this chart. We got this from Zero Hedge. You can see ISM manufacturing look in blue, looking like it's peaking. Employment heading lower. New orders pretty constant along with the headline, and look at those prices paid rolling over and heading down. And what is that starting to tell you? Why is employment going to lead? Well, because it tends to. If they're not hiring, Maybe they already know the prices are too high. People can't afford them. And then here's another factor is you're going to see the supply chain problems ease up at some point, because not only are people going to have less money to spend as their unemployment benefits go away, but California's port pileup shatters record and imports still haven't peaked. The number of container ships at the Port of Los Angeles is 4.8 times bigger than it was pre-COVID. You can see here, number of box ships at anchor, boom, record high. And you see at anchor, at berth, just off the charts. So there is inventory out there. And that's perhaps why you see in this report that they're not stacking up employees to crank out production, because what's going to happen to some of these new orders once all of this supply shows up on the shelves? Well, they'll get canceled. And here you can see those ships lining up all over the port of LA's. And then down here, we have this chart, which I could not make bigger, which shows this is not including this month's data. Maybe it is a live update. ISM showing that customers are dying to get inventory. Well, I think they're going to be at some point saying, well, we've got too much inventory. Let's wrap up today's report talking about the crude oil report. Big drop, minus 7.2 million. The issue isn't with that, as we now end this season of crude draws and head into what is normally a season of where you see builds come back up. The issue is distillate stocks were only down 1.7 million, but the other issue being gasoline inventories up 1.3. Overall, still a good report, but starting to show some caution there in the crude oil inventory data. Again, as always, thanks for being fans. Thanks for supporting the show. And of course, we will be back on Friday to find out, are you over or under on that 750,000 projection for non-farm payroll reports? Love to hear your view, and we'll talk about that more. Of course, if you're not on Twitter, join us for the fun. We'll see you there. I'm Steve Van Meter. Bye now. The content of this video provides educational information only. It's not intended to provide investment or other advice. Materials not to be construed as recommendation or solicitation by our selling security, financial instrument, or participate in any particular trading strategy. This video is prepared by Steve Van Meter. Personal capacity, please express that this video or that I'm going to do not reflect the view of Atlas Financial Advice, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.